Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download.
This is Martin Willis from the Antique Auction Podcast.
And I'm Martin's co-host, Rain Haynes.
Yeah. With us, in front of us, is Alan Michon. How are you, Alan?
Great, Martin. Great to be here.
Yes, and we're at the Alameda Point Antiques and Collectibles Fair, and I'm telling you, this place is just loaded with all kinds of merchandise, and this is, what, a record attendance here?
I think this will be our biggest show ever. This is show number 144. We are officially 12 years old next September, and we have probably about 900 dealer booths on the field, and we expect, the way people are pouring in right now, we expect to top 12,000 people today, which will be our biggest attendance ever.
Is that right? Wow.
You know what's great about this show is I've been to a lot of shows across the country, and you get a real mix in other places, but this all seems to be kind of middle-of-the-road to high-caliber merchandise. It's not what you think of when you think about going to a flea market. You expect to see some kind of lower-end, you know, not-for-nothing junk. Yep. But I've walked up and down the aisles, and my eyes are just as big as can be. They're as big as saucers. It's so exciting. There's such a great, great quality mix of dealers here.
Sure.
And you don't have to dig through the trash to find the treasure. I mean, there's treasure everywhere you turn. And that is, to me and to dealers and collectors alike, I think extremely exciting.
Sure. So let's say where this is. This is Alameda Point. This is on an old air base, right?
Yes, we're on the old Alameda Naval Air Station, and we're directly across the bay from San Francisco. So if we look to the west, we see the beautiful San Francisco skyline.
Oh, yes.
You can see the Bay Bridge. You can see the towers of the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's not a more scenic place in the world for an antique show than what we have right here on these wonderful deserted jet runways.
Now, is that what this is right here? Is a jet runway?
We're on a jet runway, yes. This was actually an active takeoff and landing runway for military aircraft until the base was decommissioned in the mid-90s.
Now, Alan, a little bit about you first. You started your first movie theater at like age 19,
I started early. I came out here
from partying at that time. I never
I wish I had been. I might have had more fun. Well, I grew up in Connecticut and in New York, and I never liked the hot weather. I never liked the extreme cold weather. So right after high school, I came out here to the Bay Area. I was enrolled in UC Berkeley, went to Cal for about a week or two. Then I dropped out and started my first business, which was movie houses. And I built my first theater in a warehouse in the industrial section of West Berkeley. And I was built out of basically salvaged objects from theaters that were being torn down, old movie palaces.
Wow.
And so I really tried to get beautiful light fixtures and ornamental plaster and just really great, exciting, old, antique movie theater stuff. No one else wanted it. And at that time, a lot of theaters were being torn down. So
Sure. It
was a wealth of objects I was able to create. And so that first theater was called the Rialto. And it became a real counterculture haven in Berkeley in those days. And I built it up to where it was four screens, and it became very successful. And then I started acquiring theaters. And over the years, I've had about 40 of them throughout the Bay Area. At the height, I had 19 locations. And sort of saw the handwriting on the wall a number of years ago when the big megaplexes started getting built up everywhere by the big corporations.
Right.
So I started getting rid of theaters, and now I only operate one theater, which I keep sort of as a hobby, and that's the beautiful Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, which is one of has often finds itself on the list of one of the 10 most beautiful movie palaces remaining in the country.
Like the Chinese Theater and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. That kind of a place. You went there the other day, right?
I had the pleasure of going there last night, and I got to
see
it.
You saw a movie?
I saw a movie last night, and you know, and it was just it's a full experience. It's not like just going to the movie where you're getting, you know, popcorn and you're getting something to drink and you're sitting down and watching a movie. You walk through the door, and the minute that you walk in, you feel like you've taken a step back in time, because not only has the exterior been preserved, but so has the interior. And then as you go and sit in this magnificent theater to go, you know, wait for the movie to start, they had a, tell me what kind of...
It's a Wurlitzer pipe organ.
Yeah, they had a guy playing this. And everybody gets there
it's
early.
It's like the old days, huh?
Seriously. Yeah, everybody got there early, and he's and this guy's just playing away, and it was so entertaining. And when it was over, he stops like right before the movie starts. Everybody starts cheering.
All right.
He gets up, he takes a bow, and it was a production all in itself. You know, the movie hadn't even started, but I mean, you were already having a great time.
Wow, what an
everybody
experience.
There, yeah, they weren't waiting and like running in at the very last minute. These people were there early. They came to be entertained. And not just by the film that was playing. I mean, it was really great, a great experience.
Great. So now, how did you segue into this, the flea market, and then we'll talk about your auctions later.
Okay. Well, as you know, as the movie theater business was getting tougher and tougher, I started thinking about, okay, I'm going to have to start another business because movies aren't going to keep going for me. So I had been a long-time attendee of the Marin City Flea Market in Sausalito, which was just a wonderful market, and it was the antique center heartbeat of Northern California.
People still talk about it.
It was, you know, it was a golden age because, you know, in those days, you know, incredible things would come out, you know, and and people would make amazing finds out there. But the property got developed in about 93, 94.
Is that where all those apartments are now over there?
No, it's sort of a failed strip mall shopping center.
Oh,
and one of the reasons it has failed over the years is so many people are angry that it was built that they won't shop there. So, it's sort of
turned
like karma
them.
For doing in the market.
Yeah.
So I had been going to that almost every weekend, you know, for years and years and years. So I felt a terrific loss when it was gone, just as everyone else did. And a number of other promoters tried to start some markets here and there. But nobody was able to come up with the key essential ingredient for a successful major show. And that is, you have to have enough space, physical space, to have a big assemblage of dealers so that you could attract a big assemblage of shoppers, and you have to have parking for the shoppers.
Sure.
And I've been a resident of Alameda since 1980, and when they closed this Naval Air Station in the mid-90s, I saw this as a tremendous opportunity to create a wonderful antiques fair.
Wow.
So I was able to go through the permit process and pull it all together. And in 1998, in September, had my first antiques fair here.
And how was the first one? Getting one started must be very difficult.
Well, it was. The hardest part was getting the permits because this is a very provincial city here, Alameda. It's an island that is just off the coast of Oakland. Here in the Bay, and it's very much a throwback to the 1940s, and it's got a real Victorian feel. It's a real small town type of a thing. It's not what you would think of when you think of San Francisco. So there was a lot of local opposition because people were afraid that it was going to bring in noise, traffic congestion, the wrong type of people, whatever. And
bringing in where? This is so isolated from
everything. I know. We're at the very tip of the western tip of the island, right alongside the water, and we're on these wonderful big, huge jet runways. And you know, we've really never been any real complaints about what we're doing out here. People love it. They love the show, and it's become a real staple of Alameda. We pay rent to the city. They get a lot of money from us in rent. They're very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in 97, I started going through the process of getting the permits. And at that time, I was married to my ex-wife, Sandra, and she was involved, and she's still a partner in the show. And we worked hard to go through the whole process with the city of Alameda. At that time, we had some partners that are no longer involved with the show. And we're, you know, it's going strong. And today, after 12 years of having shows, this is the biggest show we will have ever had. And it keeps growing.
Wow. Yeah.
The sheer volume of people that are walking around here, and what I like seeing not only is the volume of people, but the volume of people with bags.
Yes, and we've had to interrupt this podcast a couple of times because of people pushing carts by with furniture on them.
Yeah,
so that's a real good sign.
As long as they're pushing with merchandise they've bought, we'll pause it all day long.
That's right.
But no, people are walking around. I mean, there's a lot of people here. It's very exciting, obviously, for these people because they're buying things. I mean, they're coming out. As Alan says, you know, the people like it. Well, obviously, you can tell that by the turnout today. So, I mean, I just think it's great, and I can't wait for us to be done so I can carry a package myself.
Right.
Well, you know, the other great thing about this market that really sets it aside from most antiquing venues that we see anymore is the tremendous amount of young people.
Yes,
and that's been a problem. It's been a problem in the antiques trades that, you know, not enough young people are interested in antiques, and you know that as the customer base, you know, ages and dies when they're really old, or even mature collectors, people who've been collecting for a long, long time, tend to not buy so much anymore because their homes are filled with stuff. I mean, that's, you know, when you're a collector, you just, you know, it accumulates and it builds up. And finally, it gets to the point of where, you know, even the most impassioned collector has to say to himself or herself, I can't fit that. I love it. I want it. But I got no place to put it. And they
walk
away from
it. You've said that a few times, haven't you,
Rand? Oh, my gosh. More times than I care to. But somehow I end up buying it anyway.
You find a place.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll go through periods where I say, you know what, I don't want so many things anymore, and I will sell them off, and then all of a sudden I have that empty shelf, or two or three, and I'm right back doing the exact same thing that prompted me to sell it to begin with. So,
called the avid collector. That's sort of
the obsessive compulsive collector, I like to say.
Well, you have to be. Every collector is.
I think that there's a little bit of OCD in all of us. But, you know, to what Alan said, you know, about the young people that are out here, there's a huge array of young people out here. I mean, you have people
right now,
of all
everywhere.
Ages here, but there are a lot of young people, and they have something for everybody. It's not just, you know, older French, you know, provincial antiques or whatever. You have great pieces that work for people who are not collectors, which I think is great, too, because it gets people interested in things who were never interested before. And, you know, vintage clothing, lots of jewelry, you know, posters, records, you know, and along with...
Speaking of records, this guy keeps
playing. Speaking of records,
We're right near our Victrola place here. You can hear the music in the background. So it's kind of like theme music today.
Yeah, but it's really great. It's There's really a great array of merchandise. I imagine we have 900 dealers. You're not going to have 900 of the same thing. But, yeah, we have a very, very eclectic mix out here.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's great. And just one more thing about this show. If someone was to buy a piece of furniture here and cart it to their car, which is quite far away, do you have a service? I know you have a shuttle service, which is very nice.
Well, we have loading zones.
I see.
And we provide flatbed carts that people can go and borrow and load the object onto their cart, take it over to the loading zone, then go get their car, and our people will help them load it in their car. There's also delivery service available here, so that if your car cannot fit the large piece of furniture that you bought, you can have it delivered.
Now, every once in a while, I hear of a really good find that comes out of here. Do you hear those stories, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that always keeps people coming back.
Yeah, we heard that about 6 years ago, there was a Winslow Homer painting that sold for $900.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
It didn't sell to me.
I missed that one.
I didn't get it either. But no, it's amazing things do turn up out here.
Sure.
I've found some wonderful things over the years.
Yeah, and Rain's dying to get out there and look around.
I feel the money burning a hole in my pocket at this very moment. Alan told me a wonderful story about a screen that had turned up out here. As we kind of roll into talking about the market into his auction, there was a dealer that was out here that had a wonderful, was it an arts and crafts screen?
Yeah, it was a painted arts and crafts three-panel screen.
Yeah, a screen that he had out here for sale. It was for sale all day long, and for one reason or another, it didn't catch the attention of a buyer that day. And the dealer wanted Alan to purchase it, and it wasn't exactly something that Alan needed for his own private collection. Speaking of somebody that has way too many things, if you're wondering where all the great antiques are, it's because Alan has snatched them all up. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. But now I have no more room, so it's more available.
Good thing you have an auction house.
Exactly. So anyways, Alan was smart enough to say, hey, why don't you consign this to my auction? And the dealer did, and I'll let Alan tell the story.
Well, he was trying to sell it to me for about $800, and I convinced him to consign it to the auction, and it hammered at $9,000.
Wow. So that's why when something good comes up at auction, people fight for it, and not, you know, there's a lot of eyes here, but when you put it up on an auction, you have the...
Well, the difference is we have, today we'll have about 12,000 people coming through here, and they're looking at a tremendous amount of volume. I mean, you know, it's very hard to go and look at everything in this market. It's nearly impossible. When you go to an auction, such as we have at Michon's Auctions, everything goes up online. So the whole eyes of the world are there.
Yeah.
We subscribe.
Millions of people.
Millions and millions of people. We go through Live Auctioneers is our online carrier. And so anybody who is looking for a specific genre of things you know, will have their category searches programmed in. They'll go back and they'll go to their search every so often and see what, see whether anything along the lines of what they're looking for is popping up at auctions anywhere in the country or even in the world. There are foreign services that you can subscribe to as well. And so you find that specific buyer for that specific object. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's amazing what the internet has done for auctions.
Sure.
I mean, wonderful example that I like to use is a few years back we had a couple of random pieces of a Russian tea service, and it was
silver.
No, they were China. And it was like we had one saucer, one cup. And a different size saucer.
I'm gonna finish the story for you. The person that had the rest of the set found it.
Well, I assume they must have had the rest of the set because we had it in the auction at $100 to $125 estimate, and more than one person must have wanted it because they sold for about $3,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't
so and without the internet, we might not have even gotten the $100 for it. We would have gone unsold back to the consigner. And I mean, and that's the beauty of the auction world today and the internet, because it brings together the object and the buyer.
Just to bring a subject up, one time when I was in Ipswich, Mass, I was at a nice estate down there, and the guy asked me to reach down in his tall clock. And I did, and I pulled out a spoon, and it was signed Paul Revere.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I put it in auction, and this guy flew out to buy it, and he had the rest of the set of that particular set.
Oh, wonderful.
So it found its home. That's wonderful.
Great. That's great. That's a great story.
So how did you get into how did you segue from the show here into the auction business?
Well, the show here became such a tremendous success and was generating so many people, and I felt that there was room for a really good auction house with high level of integrity and customer service. At the time, eBay had bought Butterfields, and that wasn't a good marriage at all.
Right.
And there was a lot of room for opportunity to create a great auction house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started with Michon's. We will have been conducting auctions for 8 years as of next month.
Now, it started out as Auctions by the Bay. When I was on the East Coast, I remember when you started, because I searched for auction companies out here when I was thinking of relocating, and yours came up first.
Oh, okay.
You got a lot of web activity.
Yeah, well, we rely very, very heavily on that. Yeah. So we started as Auctions by the Bay, and the Antique Fair company is Antiques by the Bay. And later on, we changed the name to Michon's to sort of have more of a separation between the Antiques Fair and the auction house, because we're wanting to cultivate our image more as an upper level auction house, although we sell at every level. We do a warehouse sale 2 days a month, because we do accept full estates for liquidation.
So people
love it. And so with a warehouse sale, it's a 2 day sale held Tuesday and Wednesday right after this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually about 1,800 lots. We blow through 1,800 lots in 2 days. And we sell entire households, everything right down to the pots and pans and TV sets.
Mm-hmm.
And old TV sets are very hard to sell these days.
Like hi-fis. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've got TV color TVs for $5,
right?
Because everyone today wants the flat screen.
That's right.
Now, I've heard, you know, about your auction company, just that you have some really good policies that are attractive to people consigning.
Yes.
Where there's about the buy-in fees.
And we have what's called the no-risk consignment policy.
Mm-hmm.
And that policy is, when you consign it to us, if we don't sell it, it doesn't meet the reserve, we don't sell it, you don't owe us a penny.
Nice.
Come and get it, take
that's
it away.
That's a lot of work
it's
you put into it.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
I know all about that.
And then as far as our fees, we have a very, very reasonable, fair fee structure with no surprises. We have no add-ons for photography or for handling or for this or that or the other thing. We, you know, when you come in and we say, okay, it's going to be 15%, then when you get your settlement check, it's 15%.
Nice.
Exactly what you expected.
Now, that jet flying overhead's not trying to land here, is it?
I hope not.
Nice.
Now, Rain, let's talk about what you have going on here in November.
Well, Alan and I have known each other for a good number of years.
Does that involve the Tiffany that you're involved with?
Yes. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be introduced by some mutual friends. in the Tiffany world. And a handful of months ago, Alan asked me if I would have any interest in putting together a 20th Century Design sale with Michonne's. And it was just perfect timing because I had just relocated back to Texas, and I was looking to do something outside of just the gallery and, you know, some of the blog writing that I do. Mm-hmm. And so it was great timing for both of us. And so we started putting together a sale. We're putting together the sale now, actually, through the end of August. The sale date is the 8th of November, and it's going to be 20th Century Design, Art Nouveau, Art Deco, and Modern. So a great array of furniture, painting, silver, sculpture, obviously art, glass, and lighting, mm-hmm. a wonderful array of windows, which I think is going to be quite the highlight for the sale, some great jewelry in all of those different time periods.
Great.
So it's going to be very exciting.
Great. And you do have a couple of things coming up.
I write a weekly blog called The Art of Picking for Antiques.com.
Nice.
And I talk about coming out to places like this, great finds, the one that got away.
Yes.
I try to highlight different markets and things that people maybe don't know about, places that are hidden, just different places where people go and find things. Uh-huh. Since picking seems to be very, very hot, right now, especially with the television show American Pickers. I mean, everybody thinks they're a picker now.
Well, it was always there. I grew up around a whole bunch of really great pickers, but now there's the awareness of it,
right.
When someone's knocking at the door.
Well, it's kind of a lost art, really. I mean, and I'm sure Alan probably remembers these days when people actually did go knock on doors. You used to go knocking on doors looking for antiques. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have access. Yeah. I mean, you had to get on a plane to go to an auction and bid on something, or even to see the catalog if you weren't a subscriber to it. So, people really went out into the country and they knocked on doors just asking, do you have anything that's old that you might want to sell? And I love the show American Pickers because I think it's great that there are people that are still out there doing just that because they're getting their hands on it right up front. They're not having to, get it through an auction or in the dealer business, as we all know, the old story, there was an island and there was, two dealers stranded on a deserted island and business was good. So, these guys are getting out there and they're finding things that, they're saving American history piece by piece, which I think is great too.
Yeah. So I'll be interviewing Greg Willett soon. I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but he's had some amazing things happen in houses. So that's
nice.
Going to be coming up.
Very nice.
But anyway, so we're going to walk around now. Alan, is there anything else you'd like to add about your wonderful company you have in you?
Well, just that the Antiques Fair is the first Sunday every month.
Mm-hmm.
And always on the first Sunday, regardless if it falls on a holiday. And we, at the auction house, always have our monthly estate sale on that same Sunday starting at 10 a.m.
And you're having one going on as we speak.
We're auctioning away just a few blocks from here. And it's great that we have these wonderful buildings here on this military base. And the auction house is literally five blocks from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all kinds of signage pointing people to the auction house so that as they leave here, they can either preview the warehouse auction or go over to the main gallery and participate or watch our monthly estate auction. And it just really works out very well. It's a great synergy between the Antiques Fair and the auction house. And that's why we're growing in leaps and bounds.
Now, let me ask you this. Besides the guy that consigned the screen, has anyone else, bought something here and put it right into your auction?
Absolutely.
It happens all the time?
All the time. We have a group of regulars that are out here, with flashlights when we open up at 6 a.m. to the public.
Uh-huh.
And then they're dropping their stuff off as consignments.
At 8 a.m.
at 1 or 2 p.m. as they leave.
Wow.
A lot of these guys also participate in the auction and buy as well.
The ultimate recycling.
It is back and forth and back and forth. And, sometimes we will see things, actually quite often I will sell something over at the annex auction. I see it here next month.
Just cleaned up and made to look
great. Exactly. We see that all
the
time.
Goes around and around and around.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd love to throw in the fact that Alan's auction every Wednesday has free appraisal day. So anybody that's in this area has the ability to drive on over and have his people, his experts, take a look at whatever they have, and they'll give them a free appraisal. And and of course, they certainly, if it's a nice piece and the people want to consign it, they are not going to turn them away.
Yeah, I did that for years myself. So that's every Wednesday from what time to what time?
The appraisal day is Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And how many items can people bring in?
Well, we say five, but Yeah. We let them bring
it's
more.
It's kind of loose.
You know,
well, and jewelry's not, you have to call.
Yeah, we have to call. You have to have an appointment for jewelry because we bring in a specialist for that. But we find that with all of the things that come in on appraisal days, usually about half of it ends up staying and being sold.
Yeah, it sure beats going around, driving around looking for it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
It comes right to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it for now. We're going to walk around and talk. I'll take a break here. Are you going to walk with us?
Sure.
Okay. So we're all going to walk around and talk to a couple of dealers and just say hi and how's it going and stuff like that. So here we are walking around at the fair, and Sonia is your name. What's your name?
Sonia Perez.
Perez, and I've met you before.
Yes,
and
I have.
You deal mostly in furniture?
Yes, I redesign old frames and custom paint everything. And
you do this all this work yourself?
No, I have collaborators. I call them my collaborators who work with
plural?
Me. Yeah. Plural, yeah. Uh-huh. A couple of other individuals who help me do
upholster,
all the, work.
The whole works.
I do all the faux finishing, though.
Oh, you
I haven't
do?
Found anybody who
can meet your expectations,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But no, it looks, your things always look good. I know that where I had worked before, we sold
several
hundreds and hundreds of pieces for you.
Yes, you have.
And you were always good. You were always nicely spirited when they didn't do so well sometimes.
Definitely.
Some things did better.
I try to be positive in everything.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of people buy or not, you know, as long as they come by and say hello and love what I'm doing, it inspires me to continue in my journey, what I do. So. Uh-huh.
Well, if we had a dime for everybody that came in here and took a look at the pieces of furniture we're sitting on them today, we would. You wouldn't need to sell anything.
Well,
you could
you.
Just pack it all up and go home.
I love her.
Now, how long have you been doing this show?
For about 15 years.
Now you just bring it right here in a truck and unload it and load it back
unload
up.
Unload it and load it back up.
What do you do in the rain? I wanted to ask people that.
In the rain, I have clientels who come by my home. I showcase at the home. I call it a
showroom.
Oh,
so you just don't, you don't set up when it's raining here?
No.
Yeah, smart move.
No, we have fabric furniture.
I can't because it's all close to furniture, so.
Yeah.
But definitely when it's not raining, I'm here. I am here.
Well, I have to think that after 15 years, this is probably a pretty good show for you.
It's the best. I don't do any other show.
You hear that, people? The best.
The best.
She said the best. Quote unquote. The best.
People ask me, do you showcase what other shows you do? I don't do any other show.
That's
not
that speaks volumes.
You know, I've been actually thinking of setting up here myself, you know.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Take a look at this crowd.
As long as you don't do my furniture, you're fine. Next
No, I've had enough with furniture and the hauling of furniture. So you don't have to worry about that. It won't be furniture.
Great, great.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people out here and a lot of people admiring the things that you do. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. We're not going to take you away from your customers any longer. But
I appreciate you swinging by.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. Have a great day.
All right, Sonia. Thanks.
And we are talking with
Ron McKeever.
Tell me something, Ron. How many years have you been coming to this market?
I've been a few years. Well, recently, last month was the first time I came on this side. When I was on the other side, it was a couple years, you know, a few years back.
Wonderful. And the crowd today, good crowd?
Yeah, it's slow back here.
Slow back here? Well,
yeah.
we'll go up to the front and we'll push them back this way.
Do that.
Tell me about the kind of things that you sell.
Just oddball signs, fortune telling machines, two-headed mannequins.
You have a really eclectic mix, a lot of big things.
Two-headed mannequins. That might be the first one I've seen.
Well, did you see the witch's legs coming out of the Coke?
Yeah.
It's like the Wizard
the
of
Wicked
Oz.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
That's exactly right.
Awesome.
What I think is interesting about this booth is that you have a lot of large things, and a lot of antique dealers are afraid of buying the larger things because they're afraid that they're going to be hard to move.
Right.
Who do you find as your customer?
Car guys.
Car guys?
Yeah,
collector, like collectors. Automobile?
Yeah.
Stuff
automobilia.
Like that.
Uh-huh.
What about interior designers?
Interior designers, same.
You really have a great look for interior designers that are looking to do perhaps restaurants or
I do. I've done a few restaurants, Lori's Diners. We do a lot of rentals for movies and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Can you tell our audience about doing movie rental? How does that work?
Well, last one I did was the Harvey Milk story, you know. The movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
I do a lot of custom neon work, too, and I do neon signs. So we did all the neon through that movie and stuff. But, yeah, we if you're doing a timepiece period, you know, where they need a vintage Coke machine or gas pumps or stuff like that, we'll rent them out.
And you're the guy to call.
Yes, I'm the one to call.
Do you have a website?
I don't have my website up right now. We changed it. But I do have two shops, one in Crockett and one in Port Costa called Sparky's Garage.
Can you tell us the address for anybody that happens to be in the area?
Yeah, number 2 Canyon Lake Road in Port Costa, California, and 1308 Pomona Street in Crockett, California.
5 days a week, 7 days a week?
5 days a week.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Come on out and take a look.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, there's all kinds of Coke signs and Pepsi signs and great vintage pieces.
I want the fortune teller machine.
Yeah, that's...
Everybody
that's,
needs one of those.
Isn't that like in the movie Big or something? Or,
it was, and not only that, but who needs the magic 8-ball when you got the fortune teller to just tell you how it is?
Just put a nickel in or 25 cents.
25
it went
cents.
Up.
Yeah, it's inflation.
Yeah.
25 cents. 25 cents, and you can find out...
It was from Playland.
And I like
is
that...
Really?
Yeah. You have the Mona Lisa there, too. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
All right, well, nice to meet you.
Thank
nice
you
meeting
much.
You. Thanks so much
that.
For your time.
Flea Market, Alameda Penny Market, Marin, Alamany, here.
Oh, we were talking about the Marin one earlier. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Vinny.
And tell me again about those glasses. Those are just so cool.
These are welding goggles. I got at Ryan's Antiques for $40. And I had them kicking around for a while because I have a thing about little old granny glasses. All the old one percenters in my neighborhood used to wear them, and they ride their big Harleys around.
All right.
And so these, I had the lenses done because I wanted to see the world through rose-colored glasses by Phoenix Optical.
Nice.
Really neat people.
Has it changed your life, the rose color?
Oh, it's changed immensely.
All right.
That and that little square thing I just took and now everything's starting to melt. It was a four-way something. I can't remember. Anyway.
It all works. Yeah. Hey, well, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting
this
you.
This is going to be on the Antique Auction Podcast. It's a podcast, weekly podcast on antiques and collecting.
All right.
So
buy used, 100% U.S. economy. Does
right.
not go out of this country.
That's right.
Go.
All right. Good message.
All right.
Thanks, Vinny.
Nice
I love you, man.
Vinny.
All right.
This is Martin Willis from the Antique Auction Podcast. And your
I'm
name?
Christina Martinez.
And
I'm Martin's co-host, Rain Haynes.
Yeah.
And Christina, I stopped by your booth here today because you had a great array of things, but I love the hats because every man looks sexy in a fedora hat.
Yep,
is that
definitely.
Not the trick?
Yes, it is.
Tell me about your hats. These are all vintage, right?
They are all vintage. We get them all from Germany.
Really?
Yes,
Germany.
So they're all imported. Yes.
I love that.
Do you actually go there?
My boss is from Germany. We're part of Retro City Fashions, and so, yeah.
We Tell us about Retro City Fashions.
Well, we have 7 vintage clothing stores around the Bay Area.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Can you give us an address of, like, your main store?
We have Heldover on Haight Street, and we have Haight Ashbury Vintage at Haight Ashbury, and we have La Rosa at Cole. And then we have 2 in the Mission. We have Mission Thrift and Close Contact. And here in Berkeley, we have Mars and Sharks.
And website? Is it all different websites or one website?
It's one website, and it's www.retrocity.com.
How long have you been doing this show?
I've been coming out here for probably close to 5 years now.
I wow. imagine that if you come out here this long, it's a good show for you.
It is, definitely. It's
we have a lot of traffic today. Are you selling a lot?
Yes, we are. Yep.
It's always awesome to hear. We have a great array of things.
Thank you.
And we're excited to have you out here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Thanks
All
so
right,
much.
All right, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
Take care.
Hey there, how you doing?
Okay, pretty good.
And I recognize you. Dana, how you doing?
Oh, okay, Martin.
Yeah.
How are you?
So here we are at Alameda, and, you know, your booth caught my eye before you did. Mm-hmm. You have some nice things here.
I try to keep an eclectic eye.
Yeah.
And I try to keep it to the point where it's one-of-a-kind items. That way I can match anybody else's price on the lot.
There you go. I like your weather vane up there. That's pretty nice.
50s reproduction.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not reproduction.
No, we're not going to call that here.
No,
here,
not reproduction.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They weren't
It's a copy.
Copy.
Yeah.
They were in the 50s. They were copy. Made the same way. It was zinc feet,
yep.
zinc head, so it stays into the wind.
Yeah.
Fooled
yeah.
me when I bought it, but
yeah.
Wow, you know, it happens.
Yeah, that
so
does
the
happen.
Best of us.
Yeah, yeah.
So but tell us about what are some of the more popular things that you're selling today.
Today. Today is Kids' Day. I'm having a good time with the bubblegum charms.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the plastic, unusual-looking wristbands that the kids are wearing today?
No.
They make these plastic kind of neon-colored wristbands. They're brand new, and they're shaped like dinosaurs and all different kinds of things, and that's probably why they're leaning towards this. It probably has something to do with
the
bracelets. These are retro. It's the color of plastic, and they're animal figures and stuff like that. They're really kind of cool. How long have you been doing the show?
The show since its inception, which...
98.
Yeah, 98, so...
Yeah.
That's a good long while. Do you buy on the floor early before everybody
no,
shows up?
No, I don't get a chance to. the one-man operation, so it takes me forever to set up here. I used to.
Well, you've been doing it for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure you've probably heard some great stories of things that have been picked out of this market. Do tell. Yeah. Come on,
well,
I love that.
Dana, I know you as someone that is extremely knowledgeable in early pieces.
Yes, I am.
That's right.
Yeah, so, this looks like a good fun front
for you today. Not exactly what you're versed in.
Not my forte. You go home and it's a museum at home.
This is just fun.
Well, this is for the general. You got to keep it lively for the general public.
That's right.
They all can't buy museum quality pieces, and not most of them can afford them these days.
But they're out here and they're spending their hard earned cash on antiques and vintage items, which we think is great.
That's right. Well, they're buying their back. A lot of them are buying back their memories.
That's great. And you know what? I mean, there's no price that can be put on a great memory, is there?
$5.95 sometimes. Oh. discount.
My memories are worth more than that. Yeah. Come on.
That's all we really have, right?
That's right.
Family and memories.
Come on, tell me a story. Tell me one quick story of what great thing that's come out of here.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, there was a collection one time I got to appraise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it came out here against my appraisal.
Uh-huh.
And it was about $150,000 worth of Federalist stuff. It got sold for $4,000 in one day.
Wow.
And actually, Alan bought a really wonderful frame out of there. Everybody, I'm not kidding you, the booth, everybody ran away like, well, it's not visual, but everybody ran away flailing their arms and legs going, did you see what I bought? Oh, my God.
What a day.
Everybody from this booth. It was incredible.
So they had this appraised, and then they brought it over.
I appraised it, yeah, and these guys just wanted to raise cash real quick. They bought it.
Wow.
The same.
I know exactly.
It was the same week that I was tied up with. I brought the altar out here.
Oh, yes.
And so that was a day where I was just swamped with trying to put pieces together there. And, yeah, they came out against my orders.
Well, Dana, thank you for talking with us today.
No problem.
And, you know, Rain, this is going to be our last interview today.
Our last interview.
Yeah.
Till next time. Hate to say goodbye. We'll just say till next time.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much for the great day.
I do. All right.
This is Martin Willis, Rain Haynes, and Dana.
Bullwinkle.
Dana Bullwinkle. And we're signing off.